Joe Rogan shows how CNN are just blatant liars, while also proving that he doesn't really care about truth when it comes to Christianity. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be looking at none other than the infamous or famous, depending on who you're talking to, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, if you guys don't know, is the most downloaded podcaster out there in the world, so much so that he has an over $100 million contract with Spotify. And a lot of people have looked to him for guidance, specifically young men who are really growing up today with a lot of, I guess you would say, a lack of father figures. And a lot of people have pointed out the fact that Joe Rogan has done a really good job recently of showing the out and out blatant lies and hypocrisy from none other than CNN. In fact, he recently had Dr. Sunjay Gupta on his show where he talked to him specifically about the lies that CNN were pushing regarding specifically ivermectin and the fact that they just out and out lied. It was just not true what they said. And he actually sat there across on the Joe Rogan Experience talking with Sunjay Gupta about the fact that, and they played the clip, by the way, of a CNN reporter showing Joe Rogan and him saying, I use ivermectin, and them saying, well, this is a drug used for livestock, acting as though humans don't actually use it. And Joe Rogan called Sunjay to the carpet and said, you work for these people. What are you doing? Working for these people, saying it is livestock that drugs that I'm putting in my body. It's horse dewormer. And Sunjay literally says, it could be used for humans. I get it. And he said, hey, that's defamatory. Joe responds to him, that's defamatory. And he said, I don't know if it is. We need to be able to have nuance. But he did say, quote unquote, they shouldn't have done that. Guys, this is serious. This is what we are getting. These are the lies we're getting. And Joe Rogan pointed out most recently, and a lot of people were pretty stunned by it on Instagram, the fact that when you look at Good Morning America or 60 Minutes or a number of these shows, CBS, sports, whatever it may be, they're all sponsored by none other than Pfizer, the same people putting out the vaccine. So people have called this to the carpet, and a lot of people are recognizing, wow, this is amazing. There are a ton of lies being told. There are just misinformation on purpose. And it's interesting when the misinformation that is being told to people is also, guess what, being profited by the people telling it. Yes, because when somebody tells you over and over again, you can't use these things, you got to use the vaccine, you got to use that, and so forth, and they are getting paid. It's not a question. They are actually sponsored by, put their image up there, you get to see it. And people say, what is going on that we're being told we need to get this thing? And the very people that are telling us this, that are supposed to be objective news sources, nobody believes in that anymore, they are the ones also getting paid by the people that are making the thing they're telling me to get. I mean, yeah. So when we look at these things, we see the outright hypocrisy. But that also brings me to something else. And the fact is that if you are looking to people like Joe Rogan and others for your source for truth, you are going to be led astray on certain very key issues. Now, I want to talk later in the show regarding this necessity for young men to be guided by a strong, dominant male figure. Because that is what goes on with the Joe Rogan Experience, or if you watch UFC or do any of these things, is that a lot of young men They don't have their father in their house, whether they come from a single family home or the dad is away at work or he is on his phone all day or whatever it may be, but they're not getting guidance from their father. So they click on and turn on and download podcasts and watch on YouTube Joe Rogan clips. And you have a man talking about manly things, talking about crazy stuff you never heard of. And you're looking at this and say, wow, you seem to really care about truth in a lot of different ways. But when it comes to Joe Rogan, we can show over and over again that when he veers off into the spiritual realm, and I'm not even getting into his love for psychedelics and, you know, the fact that the guy's just an outright stoner and getting drunk on there and so forth. So for the people like, well, he does weed because it's good for you. He's also on there getting drunk, taking shots and everything. So are you going to convince me as well that getting drunk is also good for you? Or are you just using that specifically when it comes to CBD oil and claiming that's the same thing as somebody smoking a bong load? But anyways, I digress from that to get to the point of the fact that Joe Rogan has without a doubt not cared at all about actually doing his due diligence when looking at the truths of Christianity. And I'm saying this as someone who has watched Joe Rogan for a number of years, whether it was from Fear Factor, whether it was watching UFC fights and all of those things, or even watching some of the interviews on the Joe Rogan Experience, and recognizing over and over again that when it comes to certain issues, he doesn't care to actually do a deep dive if it would affect him spiritually. And I would say Christianity, and I'm going to prove that with multiple clips, that he will literally take any evidence that is outside of the Christian realm, and he will talk to any expert that is an atheist and not with anybody who has any real hold of the truths of Christianity to debate with him on his show. And the fact is that when you look at his argumentation, a lot of times, even for newer believers, it should be something that is almost infantile in your faith to say, hey, I actually realize what you're saying here is really ignorant, and you really need to do some better research. And so I want to play this first clip for you on where Joe Rogan, and mind you, you're like, oh, this guy shouldn't be a big deal. Guys, we are talking about somebody who has more downloaded podcasts than anyone on the planet. We are talking about someone that over and over again is guiding many of the hearts of young men today where they have absent fathers when they are coming alongside. And this is somebody who is speaking with an authoritative voice, telling them what is right from wrong and what is true. And people are listening. And so I want you to hear this clip. And I want you to, let's just be honest, how dumb it is.
Well, it's really baffling when you talk to people about the Bible and the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and they don't even understand where the New Testament was created by Constantine and a bunch of bishops. They threw a bunch of stuff
out. And by the way,
that's the Old Testament. We go by the New Testament, which is even more preposterous because the New Testament was written by Constantine and a bunch of bishops, and men decided what to leave in and what to take out. They decide. Constantine wasn't even religious. I mean, Constantine wasn't even a Christian until he died. He was converted on his f***ing deathbed. I mean, he just did it so that he could unite Rome. He knew what the f*** he was doing. Mm. He was getting all these people to operate together. What is God? What are you saying? What are you saying? Do you think Jesus came back from the dead? What do you think? Do you think someone walked on water? Do you believe in the literal translation? Yeah. Are you an Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy? Mm. Well, the New Testament. No, well, the New Testament was made by Constantine, who was a f***ing Roman emperor who wasn't even Christian. Mm. He didn't even believe it. He became a Christian on his f***ing deathbed. Like, that's when he became a Christian. Like, all these people that are, like, really into the New Testament. Mm. And, like, I'll talk about Old Testament shit, and people get mad at me on Twitter. They'll send me this fucking hate text. You understand, motherfucker, what the difference is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the New Testament is utter horse shit. It's created by a bishop and a fucking emperor. That's a fact. That's, like, established religious fact.
No, it's not. It's not established religious fact. And there are not even... I'm not exaggerating on this. There aren't even scholars who hate Christianity that I know that hold to this fact that Joe Rogan is purporting over and over again, by the way. You notice those are from multiple shows, and he's saying the same thing over and over, that Constantine wrote the Bible alongside, or put together the Bible alongside a bishop. And I'm guessing he's talking about Eusebius there. That's just my guess. But I don't know of any legitimate scholar, even those who are against the Christian faith, outside of Dan Brown. Oh, wait, he's not a scholar. That's right. He writes fiction books. And it's an embarrassment, in all honesty, that this is somebody that many people think he cares about truth. When I listen to that and see just outright ignorant statements, no one would believe these things if they did any research for any amount of time. That Constantine put together the Bible, could you explain to me? And who wrote it? Could you explain to me how any of the early church fathers, whether Irenaeus or Justin Martyr or Polycarp, how any of them kept quoting from God's word, the same one that we have today, if they were the ones who put it together, if they were the ones who decided, if they were the ones who wrote it multiple centuries after them, do they even know how on earth in the second century we have the Moratorium fragment, which is literally a list of books in the New Testament, very similar, not exactly the same, but very similar to the books that we have today? Do they not realize over and over that we can put together most of the New Testament before Augustine simply by the critics of the Christian faith? How about the fact that when we look at this and we hear this really, really, let's just be nice and call it a dumb statement, the fact is that when we see this and recognize that without a doubt, believers in the New Testament believe the Old Testament. And in fact, one of the markings of a heretic was somebody who said that the Old Testament has nothing to do with the New Testament. We therefore would recognize that the statements that are being made are from someone who is either ignorant on accident or willfully ignorant of the subject and is choosing to remain ignorant and then making those statements to millions and millions and millions of people. This is really important for us to understand. And I want to give some shout outs to some books that may help if you haven't looked at them yet. We've interviewed a number of the authors because we like to interview experts on the subject. So that's what we do. And we don't just make really dumb statements like Mr. Rogan has decided to do. But nonetheless, you could check out Dr. Craig Evans's book, Jesus in the Manuscripts, which would absolutely positively just throw this entire idea out the water. You could look at the books by Dr. Michael J. Kruger, specifically The Heresy of Orthodoxy, because he goes over what's called the Bauer thesis that Bart Ehrman, who is a critic of Christianity, that he has more popularized and obviously I believe changed a little bit on what the Bauer thesis was. But those books are really good at disproving whatever he's trying to put together. I don't even need to get into the idea of Constantine. I really don't. On the deathbed or whatever. I mean, this whole thing is just outright nonsense. And as I said, these are just a few clips where he espoused this. He also did this to Louder with Crowder. Many of you guys know him. I believe he's a Canadian conservative talking head. Granted, they're getting drunk together in the interview, and this guy claims to be a Christian and so forth. And it's sad because he's really just a hypocrite. But nonetheless, when they are sitting there talking about this, he brings out to him this same claim. Constantine put that whole Bible together, and Crowder sidesteps it. So guys, what we need to do as brothers and sisters in Christ is be ready to answer these things. So when people say really dumb things, we're able to give good answers, credible answers. But that's not the only thing that Joe Rogan has got really, really, really wrong concerning the Christian faith. Now, I've heard him say some things. I know that on YouTube, the Jeremy Stevens interview, the fighter, has been taken down. It was episode number 825. And they talked about what he believed about God in that interview. You can still get it on some podcast forums and so forth. But the video version was taken down, so it won't be playing the clip. But in that, he does talk about how God is nature and so forth. And that was a lot of the what I first watched and said, this is really what you've come to, this weird conclusion that you've come to. And guys, for you guys that are thinking, oh man, he's like a bastion of the conservative side, he's just not a Christian. Guys, in his interview with Steven Crowder, he says he is far more left than right. This is somebody who pushes psychedelics, drug usage, and so forth, and pro-LGBTQ, everything on the actual things that matter in this world. He is on the left side. And I know we're not dealing with conservatives, Republicans, and so forth, but the fact is a lot of really, you know, people I love that love Jesus and are happen to be more political than myself are very conservative, and they do love a lot of Joe Rogan. In fact, we had at least 10 clips sent of Joe Rogan this week to Good Fight Ministries. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, Because yes, these things are true. CNN are liars and so forth. But let's not get in bed and start sharing the stuff from people who simply are ignorant and angrily ignorant of the things of the Christian faith and purport lies. And in fact, that's not the only one. We actually interviewed, and I can't wait for the full interview to come out, with Wesley Huff, who's a wonderful apologist. He does a great job explaining manuscript variants and so forth. We have a full hour-long interview that we're going to give to you. But I want to play this clip from the interview and take a short clip from his video regarding Joe Rogan and another really, really bad argument that he has used for years against the Christian faith. You do a great job explaining one specific thing that he has actually brought up quite often concerning his view on who Jesus and Christianity as a whole, and kind of this whole theory regarding psychedelic drugs and Jesus.
Connections between ancient religions and psychedelics, like any of the John Marco Allegro stuff. John Marco Allegro, author of The Sacred Mushroom and the Scroll. Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, where John Marco Allegro alleged that the entire Christian religion was essentially a misunderstanding, and it was really all about the consumption of these psychedelic mushrooms and fertility rituals, and that these were all sort of captured in stories and tales and parables. Yeah. The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. Yeah. Did you read it? The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Christian Myth as well?
From Allegro.
Yeah. You know about that guy, John Marco Allegro? Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the guy who deciphered the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, okay.
He worked on the panel for 14 years, and he wrote a seriously controversial book. And the second book was The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Christian Myth. And the first one was The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross.
I have to admit that when I originally started hearing Joe Rogan say this on his podcast, I really didn't know what to do with it and just completely dismissed it. But he kept bringing it up, and I actually started to hear it from other people around me. Not a huge amount, but enough that kind of made me go, okay, maybe I need to look into this. What guys like Joe Rogan, who is a big proponent of psychedelics to begin with, what he talks about on his podcast occasionally is the work of an individual named John Marco Allegro. And now John Marco Allegro was a legitimate scholar, biblical archaeologist, and Dead Sea Scroll expert. And I think some people, when they like hear what sounds like, and I'll explain what it is, a crazy theory, and then they look the author up, they go, well, this isn't some wackadoo hippie. This is someone who was a legitimate individual within the academic institution, who was one of the original scholars who investigated the Dead Sea Scrolls when they were discovered. And so that can throw people for a loop. The problem is that throughout Allegro's publications, what he does is he connects the development of language to the development of religious narratives and rituals. So he used etymology, which is the study of words, and connected particular important words in the Bible and a few other ancient religions to hallucinogenic experiences from plants. So based on that, he came to the conclusion that Jesus did not exist, that the Gospels were a hoax, and that what Christianity turned into is nothing more than a misunderstanding of ancient fertility cult rituals in the object of the worship of a psychedelic mushroom. Now, that sounds crazy when even I say it like that. But this is what he published in this book titled The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. And one thing to keep in mind is that no scholar from any background, whether that's religious or secular, either in Allegro's day or now, accepts Allegro's theory and its conclusions. And it's not that it's because it's fringe. It's because when you actually start to evaluate what Allegro says and the way that he comes to those conclusions, it's just not the way you would come up with concluding that a historical figure, Jesus of all people, didn't exist. The way that he evaluates the words that he breaks down and the connections he makes between particularly ancient Sumerian and Semitic religions, it's interesting, I guess. It's a little bit convoluted, to be totally honest, because he goes into the Sumerian and Ugaritic and the Hebrew and the Greek. And I'm a person who actually studies these languages and are interested in them. And I found myself getting lost with Allegro at times. But what he does really is it's based on a genetic fallacy. which is the etymological fallacy. And that states that a word or phrase's true or proper meaning is derived directly out of the oldest meaning of said words or compounds or components of said words. So not only does Allegro basically ignore all of the evidence for the historical Jesus, not only does he kind of ignore all of the things that we can derive from the historicity and reliability and trustworthiness of the Gospels, he kind of brushes over them, and he doesn't even address them. And I think ultimately that's the strongest rebuttal is, you know, if Allegro is trying to come up with this theory that Jesus never existed, well, you can't just leave the mountain of evidence aside and then just start asserting something else despite that. But even if we leave that aside, the way that Allegro starts to get his conclusions for trying to connect hallucinogenic experiences through the study of words, it's based on a logical fallacy. We don't trace the meanings of words and how they were originally used to the time frame that they're being used in a particular instance in order to come up with their meaning. I mean, I use a number of examples in the video, and I'd encourage the listeners to go watch that on my YouTube channel. I think the one I use is awful, you know, that the word awful, even just a few hundred years ago, used to mean full of awe. But if I wake up in the morning, I turn to my wife and say, honey, you look awful this morning. You know, it's going to mean something else, right? She's not going to see that as a compliment. That's going to be an insult. And so there's a different meaning. It meant something originally, but it means something completely different now. And then there's words that don't even have the necessary derivatives of the components that make up that word, something like butterfly. The butterfly, as you know, the insect, has nothing to do with butter, and it is not a fly. I guess you could argue that it flies, but when you analyze the etymology of that word, it doesn't necessarily get you to a conclusion to tell you what that word means or how we should understand a further meaning behind that word simply by breaking apart the compound words. This is what Allegro tries to do time and time again, and even scholars within those particular linguistic fields in philology, when they evaluate this stuff, they say he's really not making as much sense as he thinks he's making. So it's very popular in with Joe Rogan and in particular circles that want to promote particularly psychedelic mushrooms. But I think at the end of the day, it's super, super fringe. It doesn't add up when we actually evaluate the data. And despite it sounding very maybe interesting, it's a lot that comes to naught in the end. So for a little bit of a further explanation, I'd encourage listeners to go look at my video on YouTube where I talk about that. But when you hear these sorts of things espoused by Joe Rogan or others, I think make sure you look into them and see, okay, let's take all the objections seriously. And what are the arguments that are being made? And then do they actually add up? And then what are the rebuttals to those particular objections? I think we should do this on all sides because it helps to shore up how we understand what other people believe and what we believe. But with something like the sacred mushroom and the cross, it's really more fantasy than it is fact.
You see, the reason why these things are important to look into, because the first police case does seem right until someone comes over and examines him. And imagine, we talk about all the time the importance of things like homeschooling for our kids. I do like to bring that out. And or at least, at the very least, if that is unable to happen in your home, the making sure that you're following what Deuteronomy 6 talks about, that doesn't matter where you go, when you're on your way, on the highways, wherever you may be, you should be growing your children in the Word of God and sharing it with them so they're being influenced by the Word of God and not by mockers. And the reality is that, yes, we can find a lot of truth from people like this, but also when we have such dangerous, and if you didn't notice the vitriolic manner by which he talked about the Bible, Old Testament, Christians, and so forth, there's a reason for that anger. And that reason is because he is a mocker of that which is true when it comes to this. So he could want all the truth he wants about UFOs or whatever, you know, psychedelics he happens to be looking into at the time. But when it comes to the truth of God's word, he's repugnant towards it and willfully ignorant towards that which is true. And the Bible's really clear. It's very interesting when you get to Proverbs and you have the wise and the fools, right, juxtaposed to one another. You have the wise and the fools. The wise are those who follow God. The fools are those who do not. And the Bible's really clear that when you have fellowship with wise, you will become wise. But the one who is friends with a fool, the companions with a fool, and I'm not calling him a fool and saying, oh, he's just a foolish person. I wouldn't call someone a fool or an idiot or something like that. I wouldn't use that terminology. But I'm talking about from a biblical standpoint in Proverbs, he obviously is not a believer and he would fall in line with those who were fools. Then guess what? We shouldn't be a companion with those because you will suffer harm. And Psalm chapter 1 says, guess what? I should not be hanging out with mockers. Psalm chapter 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What should you be meditating on, the Joe Rogan experience or the word of God? I'm not saying you can't get information and so forth, but what I am saying is when you're looking at this guidance, especially if you're a young man who watches this stuff and thinks, oh, this will be such a blessing to my life, when he is scoffing at you, he is mocking you, he's making fun of you for believing in this stuff, for believing that the eyewitness testimony of the apostles watching Jesus walk on water, watching and knowing that Jesus rose from the dead, over 500 witnesses. We're not talking about somebody reading something in the back of a cave. We're talking about over 500 witnesses, and the book of Acts says gave them many convincing proofs. We're talking about Luke, who said that the entire reason he wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts was that so we would know the truth of that which they have heard about Jesus. He did an investigative reporting of Jesus to tell us exactly what was true concerning him. And we have a scoffer here mocking Jesus doing these miracles. By the way, not even Jesus' opponents would mock him for doing those miracles. Remember that. Remember that even his opponents, those who said, yeah, we know he did these miracles, because guess what? If they denied it, no one would pay attention to him because their cousin, their neighbor, their brother was healed by Jesus. Everyone knew about it in that region. So guess what? They had nothing to say against that. So we say, yeah, well, we don't believe he's God, or we believe he's doing it by a demon. But I think about this, and I want to bring this out because you should be meditating on the word of God. But here's what it says of the rich and those who increase. And here's what it says. When the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he congratulates himself. And though men praise you when you do well for yourself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They will never see the light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Guys, we need to make sure that we aren't men in pomp, that we aren't pompous and ignorant and think that we know better than God. Humble ourselves and recognize that he will bring every single action and deed done and bring it under judgment, whether you want to believe it or not or make up fantasies about Constantine or not. So turn to Jesus right now. Trust in him. Know that we have the word of God, which is credible, and we have good reasons to believe it. And follow Jesus with all your, and love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you guys.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.